Where's Shuhatma? That is what I was saying yesterday. Said, if you do the nirjal fast, then one should be able to continue with one's service, not that one becomes such a physical wreck that you collapse during Mangalarti or like this. So the real benefit is not from comes not from fasting but from serving. Bhakti means devotional service. It's not that by something like Hiranyakashipu had this idea, I'll perform some austerity and get some power. But in bhakti, it's not like that. It's not that we do austerity and we get some power by which we can conquer Krishna. And we can go, we'll march up to the gate of Vaikuntha and kick the door open and march in and say, hey, I've been doing Nirjala Ekadashi all my life and, you know, get out of the way. I'm coming right in. But it's not like that. So it's a noble attitude to want to fast for the pleasure of Krishna, but at the present time there are millions of humans, what to speak of jivas in other species, who are completely forgetful of Krishna. So it's better to continue performing the service by which we can help to uplift them. Everything we do should be tadarte akhila cheshti, tam krishnate akhila cheshti. Everything should be done for the sake of Krishna. So if it's not just that by fasting that we will, that also accepting austerity for pleasing Krishna, but then Srila Prabhupada emphasized that our hearing and chanting should be, that's the real purpose of fasting, to increase our hearing and chanting. And the service should go on, especially the preaching service. Anyway, this point of going out and meeting people and giving them Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, in the last few days we've been, especially when I was in Belgaum at the weekend, there was quite a lot of talk of grihasthas discouraging potential brahmacharis. Don't be a brahmachari, because you might not make it throughout your whole life. Of course, that could be said about grihasthas also. You might not make it as a grihastha, you might fall out of Krishna consciousness altogether. And practically we see that many devotees who perform book distribution, they don't maintain it as their prime service throughout their life. Although if you can do so, that's certainly glorious, as famous in our society are especially Bhrigupati Prabhu and Vijay Prabhu, although there are others also, who Nidra, one god sister of mine in Denver, she goes out, she doesn't do huge scores, but she goes out regularly, she's been doing so pretty much all her life. And there are others also. But anyway, please keep on doing this, and we'll see later. There may be other ways to distribute books also, just you could do it in an almost boring way possibly, not exactly boring, but not as exciting a manner as going out and or meeting people, not as such a tough struggle. From the computer you can do by mail order, although that's one mail order outlet in one country is usually enough. Although in different regions, the languages, different language regions, it could be done. Then there's this corporate, what they call corporate Sankirtan, where you distribute 10,000 books at a time. I mean, 10,000 is a lot. Maybe 200, 500 is more normal. But even then, it's you have to cultivate people. We were discussing that yesterday. It's not so easy that you just walk up and say, hey, take 500 kids. Okay. It's not just so easy like that. It's people who, mostly people who will do that will be people who have been cultivated for many years. And schools and colleges, that's proving quite successful in Tamil Nadu. Devotees are doing that, and there's great scope for doing that, both selling to the libraries of the schools and going in the classrooms and making a presentation, and then the students and often faculty members also take them. So there are various ways of doing it, but nevertheless, this method that you are doing, going door to door and train to train, is apart from being good for the persons who get the books, it's also good for the devotees who are distributing the books. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote to Srila Prabhupada at that time, Abhay Charanaravinda Das Adhikari, he advised him to preach in the English language. That will be good for you and good for others. That will be good for others and good for you also. So it's very good training in devotional service to go out and meet all different kinds of people, and that act of surrender to go out every day and meet all kinds of people, favorable and unfavorable. And actually, in some ways, doing it in the Western countries is more of a challenge because people are definitely further away from devotional service. Although the general atmosphere gets better the more we preach everywhere. So actually nowadays, distributing books in the West, it seems to be not as tough as it used to be. Where in Germany especially, there was a long period where people would, devotees would regularly get beaten and spat upon, and in the airports in America, that was quite common also, that people would just walk up to the devotees and punch them in the face. And there was, you know, pretty aggressive people, some of them. So there was a story, I heard an anecdote of one of the great book distributors who's still distributing books, but I don't think he sends in his scores, Pragosh Prabhu. One time, some huge guy just came. He was just in the airport, one of the airports, distributing books. Someone just came up to him without any warning. He didn't approach this person. The person just came up to him and bopped him in the face, punched him, and he fell on the floor. And he just got up, picked up his glasses, and looked around and went on distributing books. So this kind of dedication, it requires great faith, actually, that especially if people are against you. I remember, I think it was the second day I was out on book distribution in London, central London, and it was in Carnaby Street, which was very famous at that time as being a very fashionable place. Have you heard of that? It's Carnaby Street, it's in that area, it's in the West End, near to Soho Street, yeah. I don't think it's so famous in those now. In those days, it was very fashionable. So I think it was just the second day I was out, and I was not with all the other devotees. It means not exactly close to me. And we had rivals there in the form of photographers who would come and catch people and say, "Here, tourists, here, we'll take your photo together. Here, all come together." They say, "Oh, that's nice." And then they'd snap a picture. And they say, "Okay, give us your name and address and I'll send it to you." And they never sent them anything. And they just took money from them. So, but they considered us their rivals because we were taking money from the tourists. So we were also standing on the street and taking money. So he said to me, "How long have you been in this movement?" And I said, "Well, about 2 weeks," because it took about 2 weeks before I got out on the street. He said, "Well, you won't last. I've seen so many, they come and go. Why don't you just forget it right away?" And one of my uncles also wrote me a letter saying, "What's wrong with you?" All this kind of thing when I joined. "Can't you get a job?" Although another one of them wrote a very nice letter, actually. But anyway, there may be various kinds of discouragement. But a devotee goes on with great faith that this really is the very best thing we can do. And even you might say, "Well, there's so many problems in ISKCON," and yeah, sometimes I get disturbed. Not sometimes, a lot of the time. It can be disturbing. But some things don't change. And whatever, even if the whole of ISKCON was to collapse tomorrow, which is doesn't seem to be very likely, but anything can happen in this material world. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, that in due course of time the parampara became broken, so it does happen. We're not expecting it very quickly, but you don't know. Anyway, even if that were to happen, Krishna will remain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we will remain his eternal servants. And service to him, known as bhakti, will remain as the only duty of any sane person. And Prabhupada's books will remain as the clear indication of the absolute truth of the supremacy of Krishna and the jivas' ultimate subordination to him and their loving relationship. So these things won't change. This phenomenon of devotees leaving the movement, it disturbed. Many devotees were disturbed by that when Prabhupada was present, because the ISKCON tube began earlier. It means you go in one end and you come out the other. Or it's like, or like revolving doors. You don't see that much in India, do you? Revolving doors. You know what that is? You walk in and then you go around a bit and you go out. So there were many devotees leaving, and Prabhupada said, well, it doesn't matter. You go on distributing the books, and then, you know, even if people leave, then more will come. And in China, they weren't able to do anything. Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he didn't ask, he ordered him to go to China. And at that time, it was actually Tamal Krishna Maharaj himself said sarcastically to Prabhupada, because some devotees, they had an intimate relationship with Prabhupada and they'd like argue with him, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was one of them. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj had told him to leave the Radha Damodar party, or I believe he told him to leave it. Or, and Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, well, I might as well go to China. It's like a sarcastic statement, because in those days, no American could go to China. There's a very bad political situation. It was completely closed communist country, and they were like complete enemies, and they couldn't go. And then the next day, Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and said, actually, that was a very good idea. Go to China. Tamal Krishna Maharaj couldn't believe it, but said, imagine what a difficult order. And he said, well, we can't go there, we can't do anything. He said, anyway, you arrange somehow or other, get my books in there, and they will do the work. Devotees will come from that. So we should have great faith that both for our own spiritual welfare, it will be good for you and good for others. If we go on with book distribution, go on chanting Hare Krishna, our own mind tells us, don't! What are you doing? Well, never mind our own mind, even people will tell us, what are you doing? You can have a good job. Even people sometimes we meet on book distribution, they say to us, why are you doing this? You know, you're a young man, you have a whole life ahead of you. What are you doing this for? But we should have great faith that we are on the right path. And even if our own mind is a complete nonsense, not, there's no question of even if. I mean, it is. So, and things are very difficult, it may seem like, but don't worry. Just stick to it, and Krishna will help us. That's our philosophy, isn't it? We're chanting every morning, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. So, just keep to the path, and Krishna will help us. And the mind is suggesting so many things, just don't listen to it. Just keep on with this. And definitely we'll get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. which is very powerful, and we'll go to Krishna. And we can expect that our mind will tell us all nonsense, and we can expect that there'll be so many difficulties in the world and so many difficulties in the society of devotees, because it's Kali Yuga. And it's Kali Yuga is an age of prayasalpayanosabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha mandasu mandamateyo mandabhagya hi upadrutaha. In Kali Yuga, people have short lives. They are lazy, unlucky, misguided, and above all, they're always disturbed. So it's a bad age. It's the Kali Yuga means Kalaha Yuga, the age of quarrel. So don't be surprised, as Prabhupada said, don't be surprised if anyone leaves, be surprised if anyone stays. So stay, do your service, chant the holy names. You're in a glorious situation. Keep this up, and Krishna will surely help you. Hare Krishna. That's all for now. Any question, please?